Joining us now from CBS 4 in Denver is our friend Justin Adams. Follow him on TV at follow him on television at CBS 4 and follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV. And looking at this free agency situation, first, how you doing, Justin?
Doing well. I'm trying to figure out what the Nuggets were doing with 3 seconds to go and a fast break and three guys, three on a one, and you settle for a three-point shot by Faku. I'm baffled, but I'm doing well other than that.
Yeah, there was some. They were discombobulated, to be sure. And a little bit later this evening, we'll have Matt Moore joining us, trying to break down what he saw as well. But a disappointing finish. But you know, we'll see how the Nuggets react to it. The Broncos coming into free agency. Let's, as I said it before you came in, three different things are going forward before free agency itself. They have things they have to address. One, Justin Simmons. Hopefully franchise tag him to keep him. Two, Von Miller and potentially Kareem Jackson. Now that they've moved on from Jarrell Casey, which is not a surprise, where do you think the Broncos go on those next three guys? What's your feeling?
Wow. Well, number one, you have to figure out something to do with Justin Simmons. And there's already been reports out that possibly the Broncos will use another franchise tag just to give them more time to be able to sign Justin Simmons on a long-term deal. Secondly, I would go and find out about Kareem Jackson if he wanted to go to, you know, come back to the Broncos, but at a lower number. This is all about trying to get as much cap space as you can to get as much help as you can, because at the end of the day, after all your draft picks, you're going to need a couple of corners. You're going to need at least one free agent corner. You might need two, to be very honest with you, and that's even if you pick up somebody in the first round. So you got to get that taken care of. My number three thing is you have to find yourself another defensive end. I know we'll talk about Shelby Harris. We know what he brings to the team, but you need to go and have somebody else as well there. So you may go and get somebody, you know, I know it's just Hendrickson, who's down in New Orleans. There's a guy that you go pick up. He's a DN, had a fabulous year this year. So there's several guys that you can pick up. But for me, my priority is figuring out what you're going to do at a corner, finding you another DN, and then for sure making sure that you resign you know, Shelby Harris and definitely Justin Simmons.
Yeah, I think Simmons is likely to return. Well, I think he's going to return one way or the other. Whether they get a long-term deal done or not, it remains to be seen. In Harris's case, I think there's a good fit, too. But we're talking a little bit about Draymond Jones, who the Broncos are justifiably pretty high on. But I imagine you're seeing it the same way I am. Until I see a guy perform as a quality starter at the NFL level, I'm not going to assume. I don't care where they were picked. I don't care what program they came from. Until I see you do it, I'm not going to presume you can do it, because that's how teams get themselves in trouble, right?
Oh, 100%. And if you assume, especially with the way that the NFL is, and didn't we just see this Bronco team go through a bevy of injuries, which was the biggest excuse as to why they had a 5-11 year? So you better make sure that you have not only guys who can do it well that you drafted, but also guys in free agents that are going to do very well too. You better make sure that you have that depth, because that's one of the biggest things that hurt the Broncos last year with all the injuries. And if you don't have that depth, it's going to be hard to stop anybody. I mean, think about how this team was once Mike Purcell got out. It took them a little bit until they figured out in some way how to have at least a decent run defense. You got to make sure you get you another run stopper in there too.
Yeah, because it required them going back to find 2012 first-round pick Sylvester Williams and bring him back into the mix. That's how desperate things got. The idea of moving away from Jarrell Casey, now, when he came into Denver on that good deal, he had been to the previous four Pro Bowls. Are you a little surprised that the Broncos just cut bait?
Not really surprised, only when you think about the dead cap space, and there was none. So I wasn't surprised about that. And actually, weirdly enough, I had a chance to speak to him and his wife. And at the time, this was in October, he told me that he knew that this is a business. Like, he understood the business of things. And that's kind of the way it is. Look, he's 31 years old now. And, you know, you just cut bait from him and you go younger. You restart from there. And you're really not hurting, to be very honest with you. But Jarrell Casey is the type of player that he'll find himself with a contender who will give them, you know, maybe 50% of the plays on defense, maybe 55-60, and be very effective once it gets to the postseason. So hopefully he doesn't go to like a Kansas City or a Baltimore or something like that. But definitely Jarrell Casey. He'll find himself on the contender next year.
Yeah, I agree with that. We're talking with Justin Adams, Justin Adams TV on Twitter. And you had an interesting story over at denver.cbslocal.com about the idea. We're looking at the quarterback position. And, of course, there's excitement about the possibility of grabbing Deshaun Watson. And yeah, there are folks in Vegas who believe the Broncos are the most likely to get him. But when you talk about those sort of things, most likely doesn't necessarily mean it's even likely in the way we normally consider it, is it?
No, it's not at all. Actually, the article I did today was with Jay Cornegay, who is the executive VP with Westgate Superbook, or in Colorado, it's just Superbook USA. And he has Drew Lock having the best odds to start the 2021 season as a starting quarterback, to take the first snaps of the team next year. And so when you think about that, one of his main reasons why was all the hurdles that it would take to get a Deshaun Watson or to get a Sam Darnold in a trade. Or on the other hand, well, then you might draft somebody. But if you draft somebody, it's not a for sure thing that they're going to be the franchise quarterback that you're looking for. We also think about what George Payton said at his first press conference. He talked about the value of draft picks as well. And we talked about this a little bit earlier, too, about the possibility of the Broncos actually moving down in the draft, getting more draft picks, and kind of hitting the restart button from there. That's something that we could see, in all honesty. And if you're going to move back, you're most likely not going to get a quarterback. Do you really want Mac Jones to be your starting quarterback? I'm not saying that Mac Jones won't be a top quarterback. I mean, things can happen, but let's just call it what it is. The Broncos need help at corner. They need another pass rusher. They're going to need help at linebacker. And if you're not going to go and move up and trade to get Deshaun Watson to move up and get you a Justin Fields or Trey Lance or somebody like that, then the best thing this team can do is actually moving back, get a couple of draft picks, and getting a couple of impact players in the first round.
There's a good argument to be made for that. You know, we go through a mock draft tonight on this program, and the idea that they could maybe move back, we're talking about the corners. To me, I look at it, and if the Broncos are going to keep their pick or near it, you have to walk away with either Patrick Surtain from Alabama or Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech, the two top corners. But the way it stacks out and the needs, the Broncos probably could move back maybe four or five spaces, and one of those guys may very well be there because the team that moves up presumably wouldn't be looking for the cornerback. So I think as the draft gets closer, that actually does make some sense because the Broncos have more than a few needs. But when you look at the idea of free agency as well, knowing that the draft comes after free agency and how complicated and how messy that could be, how much does this play into it, knowing that the Broncos are probably looking at the draft and looking at the two guys I mentioned, but realizing, hey, they could go get Chidobe Awuzie from free agency, used to be on Dallas, had a little down season. There are guys out there in the cornerback roles, maybe giving them a little more flexibility to move back if they go shopping in the right places.
Oh, my goodness, 100%. And no matter what, you do need to go and make sure that you get yourself a veteran because, Sean, the last thing that we want from this team let's just call it what it is. We do not want this team to have to go out and get two rookie cornerbacks and then Bryce Callahan, who hasn't played a full season in his career.
Right,
that's
ever.
The last thing that you will want. You know, you'll have Michael Ojemudia. Did you have Bryce Callahan? Maybe he's on the field. Maybe he's not. We don't know. And then you have rookies. That's not what you want. That's not winning football right there. So you got to make sure that you do get somebody you sign as a free agent, and then you go and supplement the rest of the depth that you need with the draft pick.
Well, you know, we can't have you on, Justin. We're talking with Justin Adams, CBS 4, without talking a little bit about college hoops, because we've been watching this, and you tweeted it out earlier. The Rams and the Buffaloes, both teams, look like they could make the tournament, be in pretty good shape, but they still have some work to do. The Rams get Air Force on Saturday. They're 14-4. The Buffs pulled off a monster win tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Let's start off with the Rams, because you know I'm going to talk a whole lot about our Buffs, baby, okay? So let me just give the Rams their love first so I can spend the rest of the time talking about CU, okay? If Colorado State loses any of these games, Air Force, they have Nevada as the last game of the year, and then they're going to take on New Mexico. They should go 4-0. But you know my rule, Sean. What's my rule?
Don't trust college kids.
Never trust college kids. 18 to 23-year-olds, you never trust them, okay? But CSU should be able to win those games, all right? So with that, that will help them out in their seeding, get them to the Mountain West tournament. They should do pretty well in that as well, and then they could find themselves in the tournament for the first time since 2013. But then you look up at that team in Boulder, what they did today, my goodness, Jariah Horn, 24 points, 6 3-pointers, and let's call it what it is, USC came as one of the top defenses in the league, not just in the Pac-12, we're talking about in NCAA,
right.
And they were blitzed all over the place. The bus looks so good today. Great win for them. They lock up the fourth seed, so they have a first-round bye in the Pac-12 tournament. All that is going to help them. And guess what? On Saturday, they have UCLA, and then next Thursday, they take on Arizona State. They have a great opportunity to really go and help out their resume and get to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's nice to see these teams. This win for CU was just enormous. I mean, Southern Cal's ranked 19th in the country. You beat them by 18 points. You basically run them off the court. And that's the kind of statement win you need to make late in the season. Because look, as much as we'd like to pretend it's not, a recency bias plays into this when the seeding comes up and when people look at rankings. They think about what happened most recently. So putting up that kind of win matters. But it is really exciting to see both of these universities completely in control of their own destiny now. That's something we haven't seen for a while in this state. When you're looking at college basketball, it's kind of refreshing to see it come back, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness, 100%. And think about the Buffs last year, what they were on, like a 5-game losing streak, or 6-game losing streak or something. They were blown out in the first round of the Pac-12 tournament, and then everything shut down due to COVID. But they didn't finish the year well, and they probably would have snuck in, but they didn't look good. This team looks so different. Now, their problem is this. They're still inconsistent. Anytime you lose games to Washington, you have a 19-point lead against Utah at home, and you lose that game with 8 minutes to go in the ballgame, and you find yourself, you know, losing that one. Or you're losing at Cal, you lose that one. So they have to figure out a way how to be consistent. But now is the time of the year where every game matters, and you truly cannot lose anymore, or you'll find yourself at home in the NIT or something like that. And trust me, nobody wants to be in the NIT. Nobody wants to be in that tournament.
Yeah, a lot of teams try to skip out on it if they can. The idea
now
with the conference tournaments coming up, I presume you look at these two teams and think that they have to win, no matter if, even if CSU finishes 18-4 in the regular season, finishes out, they have to win at least one game in these conference tournaments to be able to make a case, right?
Yeah, CSU has to do so. But Nico Medved, and what he's been doing at Fort Collins is just ridiculous. And don't forget, the team they have up there is young. I mean, there's a whole lot of freshmen and sophomores that are starting up there at CSU. So they're looking very good. And this is one of those years, to be honest with you, where I wish CU and CSU would have been able to hook up. And I really hope so that somehow it happens, like in a Sweet 16 or whatever, in the NCAA tournament, because both teams are looking good. I will say this, Nico Medved and Tab Boyle have done a fabulous job of making two universities that's really been football schools kind of bringing on more basketball along here. And it feels good to be able to talk about college basketball in the state of Colorado with two teams that are doing very well. Hope definitely the best for CSU and CU. Get it done. Get to the second weekend. And you never know what happens. Once you get to the second weekend, anything can happen in the NCAA tournament, so hopefully both teams can make it bigger.
Yeah, this year even more than usual. And you're right, when bringing up, you know, we don't get to talk about Colorado State basketball very often, obviously, but you bring up a very good point. That team has three juniors and no seniors.
Right.
And they're 14-4. That's remarkable.
Right. Well, and we're not even talking about the kids that they will bring in and the way that they were even last year. I mean, again, what Nico Medved has done has been ridiculous. I still remember early on in the year where they were down to San Diego State. I think it was by like 20-something or whatever. It was just ridiculous at first. And the game was on Channel 4, by the way, looking at that one. And then I look up, and at the end, they come back and win that ball game. They just have a never-say-die attitude. They're the type of team that can beat anybody. Boise, at one point, was one of the top teams in the nation. When you have that win on the road against San Diego State, who's now a ranked team, top 25, that's a huge win for you when you look at your resume. The only thing for them is they had a layoff due to coronavirus, and I hope that it doesn't hurt them. We've seen teams come off from that layoff where a couple of games get postponed or canceled, and you don't play the same. Thankfully, you're taking on Air Force, but look, anytime it's a rivalry game, you know anything can happen in those type of ball games. But Nico Medved and those boys up there at Fort Collins should be able to handle, take care of their business. Win these games. You only have one more road game to go. That'll be against Nevada. Win those ball games. Have a great showing in the Mountain West tournament. And you know what? You could win that. They have the talent to be able to win that. And then from there, you just never know. You just want to get into the tournament. And, see what happens from there.
He is Justin Adams. Follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV and check out everything he puts together over at CBS 4 Denver, both on air and online. Always good to talk to you because, let's face it, nobody else wants to talk college basketball with me. So it's always good.
Well, remember, Sean, remember, the number one rule, no matter what, is
right.
What?
Oh, yeah. You don't trust kids between 18 and 23.
That's right. Can't trust those college kids, man.
That's right.
But they should win.
18 to 23 also includes guys like Michael Porter Jr. We'll get to that in a minute.
Lord have mercy. Can you please just cut to the basket? You get a layup. Oh, my goodness.
Well, thanks so much for the time, Justin. Take care.
See you, Sean.
All right. By the way, the last time the Rams and the Buffs both made the big dance was 2013. So it's been a while to see them both in there at the same time. It's exciting to see college basketball come aboard. But as Justin said, 18 to 23, you never know. The Denver Nuggets lose a heartbreaker and, well, a confusing one to the Washington Wizards. Anybody just take a shot. We'll talk to our Nuggets insider Matt Moore. Maybe he can explain it next.